I think Audrey has served us well this week. Don't you, folks? Let's give her all a big hand. Audrey Hepburn, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an enjoyable week for the most part, except for when I talked about the current Eon, which was yesterday. Yeah, that was a little rough. But now we're getting to the weekend. Back to the radio analogy, they're always looking forward to the weekend. On Monday, 4 days to the weekend. Tuesday, 3 days to the weekend. During the weekend, they talk about next weekend. So it's all about the weekend. We're coming into the weekend of the eons. Now's when the good stuff starts. I know you folks are making fun of me. Look, you see the end of my cigars and they're all tattered. In fact, this one's left over from last Friday. I'm on a budget, you know, so like I make these last for like a month. I'll smoke one on Friday, and when I'm done, I'll put it out, and I'll save it. So this thing's been in waiting since last Friday, and it's all dried up. It tastes like garbage. It tastes like dog poop, as all cigars do, but I don't care. I'm in it for the effect. I just like the idea of it. I don't enjoy it at all. I might look like I enjoy it, but that's all an optical illusion. And no, I don't know how to light it because they're always ragged at the end, but that's okay. If you want to know how to light a cigar, you need to call my friend Waylon Dabbs of Florida. He's an expert at lighting cigars. He does it with elegance and grace, much like Audrey here lit the end of her cigarettes. She had that long cigarette holder, you know, and the cigarette at the end, very elegant. I'm going to look into getting one of those, although it might be just a tad unmanly. Okay, we're coming into what is referred to in Scripture, I have to put on my reading glasses here, as the eons of the eons. I'm going to give you another big clue. This one is from Ephesians 2, verse 7. Check out this verse. Ephesians 2, 7 talks about the oncoming eons. Now, this, from the pen of the man, who told us in Galatians 1, 4, that this was the present, or the current, wicked eon. This same guy, Paul, in Ephesians 2, 7, talks about oncoming eons. That proves that there are at least two eons ahead. Oncoming eons, plural. Doesn't say oncoming eon. And then we have this interesting phrase called the eons of the eons. Now, the King James completely botches this. No surprise. The King James has this asinine phrase, also known as forever and ever. I want to tell you how asinine this is. Forever and ever ignores the plural. In the Greek, it's the eons of the eons. The first thing they do is they take the word ion in the Greek and they turn it to ever. Why don't you just transliterate it? That is, bring it over as directly as you can from the Greek and call it an eon. That's what the Concordant version does. Young's literal translation makes it an age. That's not bad. I can live with that. At least it's a time period. The bar translation, I believe, makes it an eon or an ion. Maybe they put ion in there. Maybe they just bring it directly over from the Greek. I applaud that. I'm all for it. So the King James turns age, turns ion into ever. They get rid of the genitive case, that is the of the, eons of the, comparing some eons to other eons. And they change that to and, which is the Greek connective kai, K-A-I. And if you looked at any of the ancient Greek manuscripts, the word kai is not there. So the connective is not there. It's the genitive case of the noun's ion. The noun ion. So they miss that. Forget about that. They don't translate it that way. And then they lose the plural. Eons of the eons. You hear the S's at the end? They call it forever and ever, as if there can be a forever and an ever. It's ridiculous. The only time you see that kind of asininity is in Hallmark cards. I love you forever and a day. Forever and a day. What's forever and a day? Can you just love me forever? You add a day? I mean, it's a sentiment. It's an what you would call a what do you call it when people go, not an exaggeration, but hyperbole. It's hyperbole. But we're not after hyperbole in the Scriptures, are we? No. So we have eons of the eons. Here's your verse references. Here's your verse references for eons of the eons. Romans 16:27, Galatians 1:5, Philippians 4:20, and 1 Timothy 1:17, eons of the eons. This is comparative. Let me explain to you the eons of the eons. These are the two coming eons of all the eons. These are the greatest eons of all the eons. That's why Paul says, I think it's Romans 16, or is it Ephesians 3? Oh, where is it? Read the whole New Testament, you'll find it. To God be the glory for the eons of the eons. Oh, that might be Romans 11:36. To God be the glory for the eons of the eons. That means that he is going to get glory in the final two eons that he has not gotten in the previous three eons, because the previous three eons have to do with death, disruption, and the coming of Christ to deal with sin, the misunderstanding of Christ. He doesn't get his due. He comes as a Messiah. They kill him. They can't stand him. And so this, all this trauma and tragedy is going to end at last when he gets glory for the eons of the eons. Now, people say, Merton, that verse sounds just so confusing. It's so technical. Not really. Not really, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a phrase in Hebrews that talks about the holies of the holies. Have you ever heard the term holy of holies? Oh, there's also a term called the eon of the eons. It talks about the last eon, not just that there are two coming eons, but there are other ones. The eon of the eons. Look at that in Ephesians 3:21. That is great. Paul talks about the eon of the eons. Now he's talking about the best eon out of all the eons. This corresponds in time to the tabernacle system in space. Watch this. The tabernacle system in space was a series of holy places. So you have the holy place. They're all holy places, but there's the holy of the holies. Have you ever heard of that phrase? Sure you have. Everybody has. When my kid was three, he heard of it. It's the holiest of all the holy places, the holy of the holies. It's not a, as some people say, people hear this phrase when we correct some people. We say it's eons of the eons. They still insist that God's plan is eternal. That just means eons tumbling upon eons. Really? The eons are acrobats? They tumble upon each other? No. Is the holy of holies, or the holies of holies, which is another phrase found in the book of Hebrews, is that an endless succession of holy places tumbling upon holy places? Please. It's comparing two holy places to other holy places. The entire sanctuary area was holy, but there were two holy places that were holier than the holy places, and those were called the holies of the holies. That's in Hebrews, I think, chapter 9. It meant that we're now talking about two holy places as related to other holy places. We're talking about the sanctuary, and we're talking about the Holy of Holies, the cube where the Ark of the Covenant was. But now there's another phrase called the Holy of the Holies. Now we're only talking about the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the high priest went once a year to atone for the sins of Israel. Now, that is a wonderful physical representation in space of what the eons are in time. They're comparing eons to other eons. So we have these three beautiful, distinctive, descriptive phrases in the Greek. We have the eon of the eons, speaking of eon 5, comparing it to the other eons. That's Ephesians 3:21. We have the eon of the eon, didn't mention that, Hebrews 1:8. Talks about the eon of the eon. In other words, it's describing the last eon, but instead of relating it to all the other eons, it's only relating it to the previous one. It's the eon of the eon. The fifth eon comes out of the fourth eon. Then there's the great phrase, the eons of the eons. Now, the King James obliterates all this lovely distinction that God put in the word. And they go, we don't really understand. Let me talk like this. We don't really understand all these different phrases. You know, the eons, the eons of the eons. Simply doesn't make any sense to us. Oh, I say, let's just make it forever and ever. It's too much work. I've got to be home. The wife says, I need to mow the grass tonight, and I'm really tired of translating. Boys, let's just take one more sip of tea, put forever and ever, to hell with the distinctions. Let's get it on, right? That's what they did. And they obliterated these wonderful distinctions. So we have two eons coming called the eons of the eons. And we know because we have the benefit of the entire scriptures. We know that these two eons are the kingdom eon, the 1,000 years of Israel, which most Christians think that's heaven. I thought that was heaven too at one time. Then I found out that people are dying on that eon. Then I found out that a man is considered a youth if he dies at 100, but he's still going to die. Then I find out that Christ is ruling with a rod of iron, and he hits people on the head with a tailpipe of a muffler if they fail to observe the Feast of Tabernacles and come to Jerusalem. He withholds rain from their land. It's a tough little place. It's better than this place. But you still have death, and you have people cast into Gehenna, which is the place of capital punishment. It's not an eternal torment. It's in the Valley of Hinnom. It's going to be a place where the corpses of the mortals are incinerated to make room for more corpses, because capital punishment is going to be executed with speed and alacrity. And people are going to think twice before they sin, because as soon as you sin, you don't go through some protracted, dishonest court system with lawyers and all that crap. It's like, boom, instant judgment. We saw a hint of that in the book of Acts, where Ananias and Sapphira embezzled part of the price of the land they sold to Peter. You don't want to embezzle Peter in Acts. Not when he's been given keys and authority to bring in the kingdom. You don't want to mess with that guy. They messed with him, they dropped dead on the spot. That's what's going to happen in Eon 4. That's heaven. Not only is it not heaven, it's on earth. But it's not all, because we have eons of the eons. There's an eon to come, and it's eon number 5. And God dwells in eon number 5. Oh my gosh, I got to hurry up. Look at my time. I got to give you the 5 eons. The human hand is a wonderful representation. Here's my left hand. Let's go this way. Your little pinky is eon number 1. That was the beginning, see? God created the heavens and the earth. And then in between your fingers are the disruptions, because every in between every eon is a cataclysm of major proportions. So what happened after eon 1? We had the disruption of the world. That's this space here between your pinky and your utter finger. I don't know what your ring finger, okay? That's the disruption. Then you have your ring finger, and that would be the second eon. That's the eon Adam lived in, okay? That eon ended with the flood of Noah. There's in between there, in between the fingers, you got the flood of Noah. It's a cataclysm. Then you come into the present wicked eon. That's this middle finger right here. That's the present wicked eon. Now, after that comes the day of indignation. That's the cataclysm that ends this eon. And then the index finger, your pointer finger, that now becomes the kingdom eon, and then the final eon is your thumb. That's the eon of the eons. And what's cool is your hand naturally separates into the thumb and the forefinger. You do a lot of stuff with this. You pinch people with it, and you pinch. You pick up stuff, and you smoke cigars with it. So these are the good eons, the thumb and the forefinger. These are the evil eons, and in between each eon is a cataclysm. It's a handy chart of the eon. That means that this is the current wicked eon, the middle finger. If you're looking on the Zender canvas, the current wicked eon, which is quite appropriate, I think. And as you're giving this demonstration of the eons to people, if they don't get it, then you have your hand at the ready to smack them across the face and bring them to their senses.